Today on Real Radio.
We know this for a fact, that God exists. The evidence is overwhelming. If we will, without bias, look at the evidence, we must ask the question then, can I know this God?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter exploration through the New Testament narrative written by Luke and is examining the latter half of chapter 19. It is often said that the Judeo-Christian faith is the only faith that is truly defendable intellectually, from the existence of its author all the way to the reliability of his written word. And there are reasons for this, as Pastor Jack demonstrates in this series called The Ever-Present Argument of God.
Why did Jesus come? If somebody asks you, maybe someone knocks on your door and they want to share with you religious issues and all, just get to the point. Ask them, why did Jesus come? Just go straight to the point. It's all about the cross. That's why Jesus came. The cross is everything. And I want you to have a better understanding about the cross. In John chapter 12, verse 27, Jesus says, Father, do I pray, save me from this hour? But for this purpose came I into the world. I have come to this very hour. Jesus had an appointment with the cross. Now listen, in his humanity, the cross was looming before him. But in his deity, the cross was the long-awaited work day. I want to put it to you that way. That the cross was a work day for God appointed by the Lord. And you say, what do you mean by that, a work day? And I want to just put this to you this morning. And this may be academic, I don't know, but it absolutely turns on my heart. Gets me excited. Jot down, if you would, Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3. Why? Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. I want to put this argument before you during these next few weeks. What's with Jesus Christ and the cross? If in Genesis God said it is complete, it's good, it's beautiful, what's with the cross? In Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, on the seventh day, God ended his work. I'm going to argue that the context means everything. What work did he finish? When the Bible says God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Verse 3, then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. And there is a key point. God rested from his creative powers, from his creative act regarding what? The physical creation of all that he has made. God rested, meaning that God is done in the sense of original creation. When Jesus went to the cross, he's got an appointment with that cross. When Jesus is crucified on the cross, as we'll see in the next few weeks, what was an interesting word he shouted out? Remember tetelestai? Remember Jesus said, it's finished. Well, wait a minute. Genesis chapter 2 says he was finished a long time ago. What's finished what? I want to argue with you that the cross is something that announces to us that even though God made an incredibly perfect universe, it was all beautifully excellent and good, he said, and he even brings man into his creation. Once man sinned, Adam and Eve sinned, the very heart of God, who knows all things, he knew that they were going to sin. He knew that there would be one more work day left, and that work day would be on a Friday. It would be a day of crucifixion. It would be a day of suffering. What's with the cross? What does God want to argue to us today is the cross. Churches no longer preach the cross. People don't want to talk about the cross. People wear the cross. Sometimes we don't know why. A lot of people wear the cross. It's probably the most popular bit of jewelry in the world. But what's it mean? I want to argue that in creation, God's complete. But in redemption, the work was not finished until Jesus went to the cross. And the Bible teaches that God is omniscient. You know that. He's all-knowing. The Bible teaches that God is all-knowing, that he cannot learn anything. You say, Jack, now listen. Jack, if he created everything perfect and in creation put Adam and Eve in the garden, and God, who is omniscient, who knows all things, if he made everything perfect from the very beginning, before the physical universe ever formed, did he not know that Adam and Eve would sin and mess up the whole thing? Church, I want to hear your answer. It is a resounding yes. Can I hear it?
Yes.
You say, are you kidding me? No, but listen, it gives you good comfort. God knew everything was going to go down the toilet hole, so to speak, and he made it anyway. Did you know that God did not cause or tempt Adam and Eve to sin? That's impossible for God to do, for he cannot tempt someone with sin, says the Bible, nor can God be tempted. Check it out. When Adam and Eve sinned, before God ever created the most minute physical thing of this universe, invisible to our eyes, God knew that the last job he would ever do would be a job of redemption at the cross millennia later. Thousands of years later, the cross is all important. People don't want to talk about the cross, but it's in the plan of God. And I want to argue that it's the ultimate plan of God. Romans 11:34. Am I yelling? I am sorry. I am so excited. I'm so excited because the cross liberates us and sets us free. If you don't have the cross, you have nothing. And unfortunately, so few people have embraced the cross of Christ and yet think they're on their way to heaven. Romans 11:34 says, for who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? God is omniscient. He knows everything. And this morning, from these next few weeks, we're going to be talking about what I would like to just talk in our series on is unfinished business. That is that your Creator has with you and I. And that is that he wants to recreate us. And that power and opportunity is provided at the cross. So the ever-present argument of God, point number one is this. Jot it down. What's with Jesus Christ and the cross? Number one, the ever-present argument of God, it's this, that it's man's condition. What is it in this life? And you want to ask yourself, what is man's condition in this life? Take a look at man throughout this world and the history of man. What's man's condition in this life? Number one, here's our argument. Is man's condition one of ignorance? Man has to be taught. We all agree. We teach our children. Man has to be taught. The Bible argues that, listen, that man is ignorant of God's plan for his life. Jesus coming into the city of Jerusalem on this Palm Sunday in our passage. Jesus holding them accountable to have known the very day of his coming. Ignorance is something that is removed by being taught and by being educated on the facts and on the evidence and what's true. And I want to put this before you. The man without the cross of Jesus Christ in his life says things like this. This is the man without the cross. The man in the world without the cross in his life. He will say things like this because he's fighting ignorance also. He says, no, we will educate ourselves. We will become enlightened. We will study. We will get degrees. We will get achievements. We will get awards. We will make our pursuits. I'm not knocking any one of those things. But if in all of your education and if all of your learning is without God and the logic and the reason and the purpose of God in your life, listen, you're missing life. But the man without the cross will say, let's become enlightened. His humanity will bring him to a place of great prominence. That's his hope. And the world is something that is his playground. It is his teacher, he will say. A man without the cross says, I can do it my way. A man without the cross says, I can have some sort of a homogeneous gathering of all kinds of thoughts. I can be a pantheist, meaning I can fill my palate of my religious desires this way. I'll believe in all kinds of things. I'll have the horoscope over here in this box. I'll have paganism in this box. I will have education in this area, and I'll have possessions in the other area. And a man, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about mankind. Listen, we're cranking out kids out of schools, out of high schools and colleges, and they're going to go into the world to pursue what? How much money they can make? How many degrees they can have behind their names? I don't know. What are you leaving your point of education from and going out into? Is it to acquire wisdom and knowledge? Is it to make some great ascent? This is the pursuit of the world. And I want to argue with you this morning that if you do that, you will wind up, in the end, empty. It's a fact. Unfulfilled. Questioning. And you can be educated and yet still be ignorant about the very, very one and the thing in which you need to know the most. Jot it down if you would, Acts 17:22. I had the amazing honor to actually stand at this location. It is well-preserved. It is in Greece. It is amazing. Acts 17:22. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious." Listen, Athens was the think tank of the world. It was the MIT of the universe. But they had religion. And at Athens, they had all the gods that could have ever been known. They had them represented by idols. They had Athena, by the way, and they had Zeus, and they had Titan, and they had all of these gods there. And by the way, many of them are in museums today. He says, Paul said, I detect that you are very religious, for as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription. By the way, they did this so that they wouldn't offend any god that existed and they didn't know him. Are you guys with me? Paul says, now check it out. I found this statue, and here's what it said, to the unknown god. They had some sort of statue, like the city of Brea, their artwork. In the streets. Have you seen that stuff? Whatever that stuff is. What's that statue to? Some unknown god. We don't know. But we don't want to offend any gods. So we'll make an image. In Athens, Greece, they had this image. And it says underneath there, inscription, to the unknown god. So we don't offend you by not knowing you. My friend, that's called ignorance. Ignorance. Ignoramus. You ever heard the word? It's based upon a Greek word. Ignoramus is this, that there's things out there that can be known, I just don't know them. Agnostic comes from the word ignoramus. I'm not making this up. You say, well, I'm an agnostic. Do you know what you're saying? You are saying that there is somewhere a God who can probably be known, but I haven't pursued him and I don't know him. Your own admission of what you're saying is indicting yourself. When Paul comes to Athens, he says, hey, I want to talk to you about this God that you don't know about. This God. He says, therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. Is that not awesome? You guys, I love Paul because everywhere Paul went, he either got in trouble, he got arrested, or he got thrown out. That's radical Christianity. Did you hear me? If Paul came, read the life of Paul. If he came to church today, he'd probably fire me and throw you out of the building because we're too passive. We're too calm. Every town and city Paul went into, he found out, where's the closest synagogue? It's right down the street over there in Corinth. Cool, thanks. He goes into the town. He goes into the synagogue. And what does he say? He's, hey, I want to talk to you about resurrection from the dead through Jesus Christ. He shakes it all up. That's radical Christianity. That's how we need to live. When you leave here today, take the cross with you. Without the cross, the world's got no hope. And by the way, if you go on to read Acts chapter 17 later on, read it. Paul wound up getting to the point there. He said, I want to proclaim to you about Jesus Christ who is risen from the dead. Man's condition in life without knowing God is ignorance. Because we know this for a fact that God exists. The evidence is overwhelming. If we will, without bias, look at the evidence, we must ask the question then, can I know this God? And it's all about the cross. The cross is the meeting place. It is the gathering point to know this God, the Creator. But listen, that's the man without the cross. The man with the cross says things like this, Colossians 1:19. For it pleased the Father that in Christ all the fullness of the Godhead should dwell in bodily form, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. How did God reconcile mankind to himself? By him, whether things on earth or things under the earth, having made peace through the blood of his, what? Cross. The cross of Jesus Christ. That's what the man with the cross says. Listen, don't raise your hand. Are you visiting for the first time today? Are you not a Christian today, perhaps? And you want to find out what's with Christians? Let me be the first to tell you. We are people who have come to the cross. And we recognize that Jesus died on the cross for us. And outside of that, my friends, we have no claim to fame. All of us are exactly the same people. We were in this world, we were lost, and we were alienated from God, but the amazing thing happened is that Christ made peace between lost mankind and the eternal God by meeting us at that cross. Christians, in the year of whatever year this is, I forget, we need to be people of the cross. You remove the cross and you have no Christianity. Also this, what is man's condition in life? Is man's condition one of incomplete? Is man incomplete? The man without the cross is incomplete. You might be saying, Jack, you're offending me. I don't know Jesus. I don't care about the cross. And you're saying that I'm ignorant. You're saying that I'm incomplete. I'm saying to you, I love you. But yes, you are incomplete and ignorant of this very one who's the Creator who loves you. The argument of God to you today is that you may know him. He wants you to know him. But there's a way that you must know him. And a man without the cross says things like this, that it's experience that will bring my completeness. If I just have more experiences under my belt, I will then have success. And success, of course, produces satisfaction. That man without the cross says all he needs is to get all that he wants. Think about it. All he needs in life is to get what he wants. Listen, I have to tell you, that was my life before I met Jesus. I don't know about you, but in some way, shape, or form, that statement was true before you met Jesus. What is going to satisfy me? I know what it is. Attaining everything that I want. And what are those things? And people, today we are driven. What drives you today? What drives you today? What drives your thinking? What drives your passion? What drives your... Is it money? Is it success? Is it education? I'm not knocking any of those things. But the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and all these other things will be added to you. Can someone say amen? Amen. Put God first. I believe, watch out, ushers, guard the doors. I believe that on our universities today, in our high schools, or in our elementary schools, that if we are teaching our kids to be satisfied with the pursuit of possessions and of success, and they will be satisfied, why are we lying to them? Why are we not telling them the truth? Did you know to be able to graduate from Harvard, when Harvard was founded, you had to have Bible first and graduate with Greek and Hebrew? First of all, you couldn't get into Harvard without knowing Latin, Greek, and Hebrew. Did you know that? That was a requirement. And you had to agree to Bible 2 hours a day at Harvard. Did you know that? Guess what? It was the same thing at Yale. Did you know that? It was the same thing at Princeton. when you go and look at the logo on UCLA, did you know if you look at the logo, it's an open book. Look closely, unless they've changed it. If you go, if for some of you who have some good old UCLA diplomas, look closely to the logo at UCLA. It's a book wide open, and it says, "Let there be light." Go ahead and achieve all that God leads you to achieve. But listen, just make sure that God is first in your life. Young people, you need to hear that. You can have a Porsche, you can have a plane, you can have a boat, you can have the best, the biggest, the hottest, the whatever, and you'll be empty in life. And you'll be searching for that cocaine or for that drug, but that won't be enough either. They'll always, always, in this life, the world will leave us incomplete. God will not do that. But the man without the cross says things like this. Mark 8:36. "For what will it profit," Jesus said, "if a man gains the entire world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Oh man, I've got to have this thing. And then I'll be happy. What does the man with the cross say? A Christian who knows about the cross, who understands what the cross is all about and why Jesus rode on this day into Jerusalem. In our study before us, Philippians 3, verse 7. Philippians 3, 7 says this, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted lost for Christ." And Paul had achieved great status and wealth, I might add. "Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness," which is from the law. By the word, the word in Greek implies this, "not having my own righteousness, which is attempted by trying to keep the law, which is not possible, but that which is brought through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." My friend, you're either going to heaven or hell today based upon your view of the cross.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called The Ever-Present Argument of God. It's actually a series within our overall exploration of Luke's New Testament account and taken from the latter portion of chapter 19. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. In the meantime, a reminder of our special offer, Pastor Jack's DVD series called Saints, Sex, and Sinners. It's an examination of Paul's dealings with the Corinthian believers and the issues which the series title clearly describes, Saints, Sex, and Sinners. In fact, Pastor Jack, you can tell us more about it.
Well, thanks, Mike. And you know, what we're talking about in this little mini-series entitled Saints, Sex, and Sinners is the fact that political correctness is nothing new. Well, we learn in this series that at the church at Corinth, they were allowing, that is the church leadership and the body of Christ at Corinth, they were allowing sexual immorality to be conducted among their members. They didn't rebuke it, they didn't deal with it, and they spun it, Mike, as tolerance, that they were a gracious church, that they were a loving church, that they were a very tolerant church. And what they had really fallen into, Paul points it out vividly, was, in a sense, political correctness. And in our little mini-series, Paul addresses how a church leadership should deal with this and how a church itself should keep itself from sexual immorality. And so this series is very, very direct regarding this specific topic.
Yes, it is. And to obtain Pastor Jack's DVD series, Saints, Sex, and Sinners, just ask for it when you get in touch. All we request is a gift of any amount to the continuing work of Real Radio, and we'll be glad to send you the DVD series, Saints, Sex, and Sinners. Call, click, or write if you prefer. Pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and you'll know just what to do. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. This program is sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.